A little more oil flowing out of the OPEC nations could help bring prices down, but not, it turns out, if Iran gets its way.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Giotakis. We nominate this for the quote of the day, not because it's terribly memorable, but because it sets the stage for this week's much-watched meeting of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. Iran's oil minister says flatly, there is no need to increase OPEC production. But that's not the last word on this matter. Joining us now is oil analyst Jim Ritterbush. He heads Ritterbush & Associates. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Bob. It's nice to be here.
So what do you expect to see coming out of this OPEC meeting as far as increased production goes?
I think we will see an increase in production. Difficult to say how much. My own guess would be maybe around a million barrels per day that would offset a significant amount of the lost Libyan supply.
Well, we've heard that Iran would like no increase in production. There's been a lot of talk about tensions between Iran and Saudi Arabia. How does that play into the production question?
Well, this is true, but the difference between these two countries is the fact that Saudi Arabia has a large amount of unused productive capacity. Iran doesn't. So the Saudis will likely guide this meeting, and their lead will likely determine what production decision is forthcoming.
Are these OPEC meetings usually this contentious?
This will be a tougher one than what we've seen in a few years, given a lot of political cross currents related to the lost Libyan supply and the political divisions that are going to be represented at the table. The cartel also is faced with elevated oil prices, and they're going to be treading a very fine line.
What would you see happening if there is no production increase?
We would probably see prices ramp up, maybe back up to around $102, $103.
It's not the outcome we want. Jim Ritterbush, thank you for your insights.
Thank you, Bob. Have a nice day.
At least for now, investors seem fairly confident, though, that OPEC will end up boosting production. The price of crude has slipped below $99 a barrel this morning, and as oil goes, so goes gasoline. The average per gallon across the U.S. is now down to $3.77. The latest price drops still aren't enough, though, to make airlines around the world happy. We've been hearing some whining this morning, and it's not coming from their jet engines. From London Marketplace's Stephen Beard tells us it's the sound of an industry complaining of sharply falling profits.
Airline profits soared last year as the global economy recovered from recession. They reached $18 billion. But this year, profits have stalled and will likely plummet by 80%. The industry's trade body blames three main factors. The Arab unrest, that cut air travel to the Middle East. Japan's earthquake had an even more devastating effect on the vitally important Japanese market. But the trade body's boss, Giovanni Bisignani, says the biggest blow has been the steep rise in the price of oil.
$1 increase per barrel means $1.6 billion. We've seen that the oil has already increased by nearly 30%, and that is a big, big problem for us.
And an even bigger problem could be looming. He says the airlines could wind up in the red this year if the worst fears of a slump in economic growth are realized. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
We're coming off week five of Wall Street's losing streak, but maybe not coming out of it as we start a new week. The numbers continue their downward spiral, although they've picked up just a bit in the last hour. The Dow is off 15 points right now, a tenth of a percent. The Nasdaq down by a similar percentage margin, but the broader S&P 500 has trimmed a third of a percent. It was much the same story overseas. Hong Kong and Tokyo lost ground, and European markets just closed on the downbeat. What happens if the U.S. tightens financial regulations in the aftermath of the global financial meltdown, but governments abroad don't follow suit? Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner is warning other countries today they'd better not try to grab away business by keeping a light touch with their own regulation.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Just south of the country of Mongolia sits the northern Chinese province of Inner Mongolia. It's become the scene of what authorities have called a warlike situation. Troops have descended on the region in response to days of protests over large-scale coal mining. Our China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
A few weeks ago, a group of sheep herders in this remote region stood in the way of a coal truck. They wouldn't allow the driver to go any further, but the driver did. He ran over one of them, dragging him the length of a football field, killing him. The herder was ethnic Mongolian. The driver was Han Chinese, the country's ethnic majority. In the past, ethnic conflicts here have usually had one outcome, a brutal crackdown by government police. But this is more than an ethnic conflict. Mongolian activist Ekbat Togochog says it's an economic one.
Inner Mongolia has become the energy base of China and then becoming the largest coal producer in China.
And that's why China's government is handling these protests delicately. The government has suspended mining in parts of the province, and it's ordered mining companies to make sure they stay off local herding grounds. A slowdown of coal mining in this region threatens to raise energy prices at a time when the price of doing business in China is increasing like never before. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Finally, from the Marketplace Karma Desk, a retired Florida couple spent this weekend celebrating what their lawyer calls sweet justice. When Bank of America foreclosed on their house, they insisted they'd paid cash for the place and never took out a mortgage. They took the bank to court and won. But no, that wasn't the sweet justice part. The court ordered Bank of America to pay their legal fees, and when, after 5 months, B of A still hadn't coughed up the money, the lawyer got sheriff's deputies to accompany him to the local branch in Naples, Florida, and foreclosed. He threatened to load up a moving truck with furniture, computers, and any cash in the drawers. After an hour of nervously negotiating, the B of A manager cut a check to pay up in full, almost $6,000. A reader who posted a comment on the Naples News website seems to sum this all up. Every time I read this story, it brings a tear of happiness to my eye. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
California is trying to come up with a plan to fix its overcrowded prisons. There's talk of shifting some inmates from state prisons to county jails, but that costs money.
If the funding is not approved, L.A. County cannot provide the necessary beds for the transfer of these inmates.
I'm Tess Vigeland. Arrested plans next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.